Good morning, everybody. We were halfway through worship, and I realized I didn't have glasses, and I can't see with glasses anymore. I forget sometimes how old I'm getting until, like, I need them. I'm going to just jump right off of some stuff that Lisa's been ministering on the parables the last couple of weeks. She has been teaching on the being planted, and so I just want to kind of jump off. So I'm going to start off with Matthew 13. You know me, I like to just read a scripture, even if it's not something I use, at least I can say I used the scripture. So Matthew 13, verse 1 says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and the great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears, let him hear. And the disciples came unto him and said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? He said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that what he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." I want to stop. I'm going to stop here just for a second, because I want to talk about, Lisa's been talking about the seed and being planted by the seed. And I want to talk about one of the things I always, when I look at the scriptures, I like to know the context, the audience that he's speaking to, what's happening. You know, I've always heard growing up, you know, you got to live by the words in red. The problem is, if we don't understand the context of some of those words in red, they can be contradictory sometimes to one another, you know, or they can be hard for us to understand. Not all of the things that Jesus spoke was spoken to us. I'll give a little shameless plug. On Thursday nights, we do a Bible study in the back there at 6:30, and I have been starting a study for Lisa on how to study the Bible. And so if anyone is interested in kind of learning and understanding some of this context and some of those things, I encourage you to come out. Some of it will be very boring, some of it very interesting, but it's always good conversation and things that we can talk about. I love questions, and I love good conversations. So if you're looking to kind of maybe understand a little bit and looking for a good place to start on understanding the Word of God a little better, I encourage you to come out on Thursday nights as we do some of this study. I think it'd be good. If not, still good. Don't have to know it all. Just love Jesus. You know, one of the main things is the Bible is all about Him. Every time we come together and we talk about the Word of God, it should always point to Jesus. The Word of God is not really talking about us. It is really pointing us to Jesus and how great Jesus is. We should always come into a place when we talk about the Word that it should cause us to question the things that we believe. It should shake some things. But it should always leave us seeing a bigger and greater Jesus than what we walked into. seeing him high and lifted up, seeing him expanded and growing in our lives. When Jesus is talking here in these parables, he's talking to a specific audience. He's talking to people that are born under the law. And so when he's talking about to these people, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes do not see, their ears do not hear. It is not to us that he's talking. He's talking to this specific time period of people. What is significant to me, though, is because he goes on down here and he'll talk about the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed seed in his field. And while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And when it was sprung up, they said, you know, his servants came to him and said, you know, you sowed good seed. Why is there tares here? Should we go and pluck up the tares? He says, no, you let the seed grow until the time of harvest. Let them grow together, and then at the time of harvest, we'll gather in the tares, we'll burn them in the barn, but a seed we'll gather into our barn, you know, but the good seed we're going to gather into our barn. He'll go down and say, but the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and it's the least of all seeds. But when it grows, it becomes a tree that's one of the greatest of all herbs, and even the birds of the air are nesting in its branches. What is being sown here is that it is the seed of the kingdom. One of the things I think is very powerful is that we sometimes put, because I've grown up in church. We okay this morning? I've grown up in church. I've heard parables taught. I've heard sermons taught. And a lot of times it was always pointing to us. And I always, you know, sometimes you leave there questioning, am I the good ground? Or am I the bad ground? Am I the good field that's being, you know, are we been taught, it's the seed, is the seed planted in you? Or are you just, are you going to be gathered into the barn? Again, I want us to understand that these parables were not written about us. Now, we can gather some things from them, but they were to this specific audience of people. He was talking to them, the end of the, where he would say, when the harvest comes at the end of the world, King James is about the only version that translates that word world. Most versions translate it the word age. It's the end of that age, the old covenant age that was coming to an end. And so it was not about us being destroyed. It was about that old covenant system coming to an end and the birth of the new covenant system. But here's the thing about the seed. We always put the focus sometimes on us, but here's what I really began to see is that how powerful the seed of the kingdom is. Jesus was the sower that went and sowed these seeds. I'm not going to be long this morning because I know many of us want to get home before this traffic of the apple butter happens. See? Now, I know some of us want to get there, so I'm not going to be long this morning, but I just want to talk about the seed of the kingdom and how powerful the seed of the kingdom is in our life. When he talks in this scripture, he said, there was a man, a sower went out to sow, and Jesus will explain that, I am the sower. He's the one that went out and sowed the seeds of the kingdom into the world. But he said, some of it fell by the wayside, and the birds came, and they gathered up that seed. Now, here's the thing about the seed of the kingdom is that that seed of the kingdom was still powerful enough for one to feed those birds. Yeah. It gave them something of sustenance. Jesus wasn't trying to sow that seed by the wayside. If you ever sowed seed into a field, if you're trying to get crops to grow or you're trying to get plants to grow, what you're looking for is what you're trying to plant in what you have plowed, you have a field in which you're trying to sow that seed. And you're not really, what falls by the wayside, what falls in the other places, you're not really concerned about that because there was a specific thing that you were trying to do. You were trying to plant seed in a good ground. But you think about how that seed still went out. My main thing of really having sowed seed is really just grass seed. I've honestly over the years I've just given up because I realize I keep buying more and more seed and I live in the ground where, it's just stony. It's all shale. It don't grow. You're going to grow, But what's funny is I'm trying to get it to grow in my yard. But where it grows is in the gravel driveway or something, I'm not trying to grow it in the gravel driveway. I'm trying to get it to grow in the yard, but for some reason it's going to grow in that gravel driveway before it grows in the yard where I'm trying to sow it. But Jesus, when he's talking about this seed of the kingdom, he had a purpose and a place he was trying to plant that seed, and it was in that good ground. So what fell by the wayside was not really his concern. He wasn't really saying, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm trying to get this, you know, and all of a sudden there's a failure out here. No, he had a specific purpose in getting it into the good ground. But there's still, the seed of the kingdom was so powerful that there's still things that happen even without him trying to do something outside of this field that he has a purpose in sowing the seed. So one of it is the birds of the air come and pluck it up and they eat it. So there's a power of the kingdom that's still in the hands of those birds. It gave them some kind of sustenance. But if you know anything about birds too, eventually they poop, for lack of a better word. You know, and when they do that, there's sometimes they take that seed that they have eaten and it gets into other good grounds without them, you know, so there's still purpose of the seed that's getting in. So you see in this time period even, the birds of the air that came and plucked up that seed still took it to other places in the world that began to plant seed. So even if it wasn't with purpose that he was trying to plant the seed of the kingdom in which those birds ate, those birds still fulfilled a purpose of spreading the kingdom seed throughout the whole earth. The seed of God, the kingdom seed, is so powerful it doesn't matter if he's trying to get things to grow or not. The seed of the kingdom produces something. When it falls into stony ground, it begins to produce something even in the stony ground until the heat of the day comes out. But the power of that seed of the kingdom is that still in the midst of that stony ground, it still produced something. Life began to spring out of that. Amen. When he falls into the ones where the thorns come, it was still producing something even until the thorns came and choked it out. There was still the seed of God, that seed of the kingdom was still so powerful, it produced something. Now, even if you're going to look at it in the perspective of our lives, every one of you is good ground. The seed of the kingdom is planted. I want you not to leave here this morning wondering if you're good ground or you're the stony or the thing that the birds come by. You are the good ground. The seed of the kingdom being planted in your life. What is the seed of the kingdom? Paul says in Romans, he says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy located in the Holy Ghost. Everywhere the seed of the kingdom is planted, it produces righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Rather you've ever done a righteous act or not, you that are in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. But because of the strength of the kingdom seed in your life, it will produce righteousness. It produces a peace with God. When you realize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, whether you mess up or not, whether you do it right or wrong or not, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, it'll produce something of a peace in your life because you realize God's not after you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you. His love never fails. Amen. He's looking for the best to give to you. He's looking for his best life in you. Therefore, you know, we talked about on Thursday night, you know, about how faith, I used to think faith was like, I'm really hoping something's going to happen. I really hope that it's like trying to wish hard enough that God's going to heal me or God's going to do something for me. But the faith that we really have is that Jesus has accomplished it all. You know, I just took the small example where the scripture says, by his stripes you are healed. Yeah. Now think about this. Jesus was God made flesh. He was the very creator of the universe. Yeah. Of all things that we are, and he wrapped himself in flesh and took a beating of the stripes upon his back. That's how serious he was about making sure you get healed. That's how serious he is about making sure that none of these diseases shall come upon you. That's just one example of his goodness. So that should give us this faith that we're not hoping that he's going to heal me or he's going to do something for me. But there's this faith and expectation that if he was serious enough to take those stripes upon his back, there is something he wants to get to me. He wants to make sure that I'm living in perfect health, that I'm walking and prospering even as my soul is prospering. There should be an expectation then when I pray of not, man, I really hope this prayer works or this time it really happens, but an expectation that, man, he took those stripes upon his back because he wanted to make sure that I didn't have to live in a fallen, broken down state, but that I could walk in newness of life and perfect health because that's how serious he was about making sure I get what he wants me to have. And so my prayer life changes from a man, I really hope, or a wishing, to an expectation. Man, this is how much he loves me. Now, he wrapped himself in this to make sure I get what I deserve. The seed of the kingdom begins to produce a peace and a joy in life. You know, one of the things, when Paul wrote that same scripture, he would say, you know, there's some certain things that happen that will, these things shall not inherit the kingdom. Now, he uses the word inheritance, not that you can't get into heaven, but he used the word inheritance. And he'll say things like, you know, envy and strife, lasciviousness, adultery. And I begin to think about, well, what those things do. Like, if I've got a strife with somebody, you know, not just like I got a beef with somebody, but like I got a real strife with somebody, is that what happens is it's all, that's what's mainly on my mind is this, I got this thing that I just cannot stand this person. And what it does is that rather than living in a peace, that strife has robbed me from my peace. Yeah. I don't have a peace there in that situation. Every time they come around, it's like a grating to me, and I'm living out of that peace. And then if there's no peace, there's no joy. And so these things are thieves to the seed of the kingdom. It's not that God don't love you anymore, you don't get to go to heaven. It's that there's things that God wants to give you the kingdom of heaven in this life, in this earth. And so those things begin to rob you of the kingdom of God that's happening right here in this earth. You know, I think about, you know, if like, you know, you take even adultery or something, is that you've got two different things happening here and you're not at peace here. You're not at peace here. There's no joy here, even though there might, even if you're getting a little bit of pleasure and joy over here, there's something that's robbing you of the kingdom. And it has also robbed you of your true righteousness or your identity in Christ. You are living outside of that seed of the kingdom. Now, there's still, here's the thing about the seed of the kingdom, it's still powerful enough to produce some stuff in your life, even if there's some things out of balance. That's how powerful the kingdom is. That's how powerful this seed is. And so when he plants, you know, some things, even in the stony ground, the seed is still producing something because the seed of the kingdom is still powerful. It's still good. It still produces, even if there's, but here's the thing, like I said, you are good ground this morning. Amen. The seed of the kingdom was planted in your life, and it will always produce something. Now, is it in some of us, are there some stony places in our minds? Absolutely. But you know what? The kingdom can still come and produce some stuff even in the stony places. Amen. Sometimes that seed begins to break up the stony places so that it can produce later. Sometimes it's the seed becomes so powerful that even in the thorny places, you know, that's the care, you know, he says that that's the cares of life that come and choke us in the moment of things. Even in the midst of those thorny places, the seed sometimes can overpower the thorns and produce because the seed of the kingdom is more powerful than the thorny places. It's more powerful than the stony places. Sometimes it's the birds of the air that come and pluck it up, but it's just plucking it up to plant it someplace else later. And it's planting it with some fertilizer. Amen. The seed of the kingdom always produces life. It always produces something of the righteousness, peace, and joy located in the Holy Ghost, even if sometimes the ground is not ready for it yet. But the thing is that it's still, you are more fertile. And there is a purpose in which he has planted. If you are here this morning, there was, as Lisa's been saying, there was purpose in what he planted in you. He saw good ground to plant a seed. Yes. And it's produced, it's begin. I see it all the time when we come in here, of people's excitement, their hunger for the word. That's good ground. The seed of the kingdom is planted, is producing something inside of you. I see an expectations change, and that when we have prayer requests or we have, you know, needs, that there's something that was planted inside of us that has an expectation. But you know what? I think God's going to do great things. He's got me. He's going, you know, my purpose every time I preach is to create faith in you, to hear something that begins to say, man, he's going to do this. Yeah, he's got me. Yes, he wants to bless me. Yes, he wants to do something incredible. Yes, he took the stripes upon his back. Yes, he was crucified for me, because he was serious about getting this seed of the kingdom inside of me and producing something of a life. You know, quiet this morning. It should be good news to us. Like I said, I grew up in church where it was always wondering, is it, you know, am I the stony ground? You know, am I is the birds going to come and take away my seed? Am I, you know, no one ever told me till I was much older that I was good ground, that I was the ground. He had a purpose in which he sowed the seed of the kingdom in me. He had a purpose that he was going, that this seed that was planted in me was with purpose, and that it was going to produce the life of the kingdom. And even if I had some stony places, even if I had some places that were thorny, even if there was times the birds have taken some stuff, that was the seeds that fell by the wayside. That wasn't the seeds of purpose that he planted in my heart. And what I love about it is even the seeds of by the wayside, sometimes in my mind, in my ways, they still produce something. And it's still bringing me into a greater purpose. It's still bringing me into a kingdom that is full of righteousness, peace, and joy. That it gives an expectation that, you know, even as, you know, there are times in life we go through stuff. Amen. No matter how much you love God, no matter how faithful you are, there are just times in life that life happens. But you know, the longer that I have just seen God do just great things for me, the less I worry about those times in life, and the more I have an expectation that this too shall pass. I remember when we first got married, and Liza was trying to get into residency, and we, you know, she had some issues there. You don't mind me telling the story right now. She had, yeah. But she had things didn't happen. We were just first married. I mean, we'd only been married a couple months. And things didn't happen exactly the way she thought it was going to happen. And it was a real trying time for her. And I remember saying, like, you know what, God, we're going to be fine. You know, like, her whole world was falling down in that moment. And I understand, you know, because I've been with her long enough, so I understand the pressure of the schooling and things that she's gone through. But in that moment, her world was falling down, and our world was fine. You ever been like that? Like, the world is falling down because you're looking at all the what-ifs and what could happen, all this. The world was falling down. We were going to lose our house. We were going to lose all this. And I at that point, I was doing all the bills, and I opened up our checkbook, and I was like, I think we're going to lose our house. I think we're okay. You know, I think we're going to be okay. Yeah, but you don't understand. If this, and this don't happen, this is, you know, the whole world. Like, yes, but right now, today, the world is still standing, and we're okay. Yes. And she was having this hard time, but then we saw the Lord just do something just incredible that was almost like he was hand-making something for her. That was exactly what she was looking for, and she saw the hand, and it gave, there was faith that happened in that moment. But when we had to go into residency, we also had to have a place to live, and I had just built a house. And then we had to go look. Well, it was right at the housing market had just fallen apart. And we had looked at this one house, and you know, the first day we drove into it, I'm like, there's no way we can afford this house. Like, we just can't afford that. We had looked at apartments, but apartments were more than like mortgages at this moment. But we looked at this one house, and we said, man, this would be a great house, but you know, there's no way we can afford it. It was like a short sale on top of it, all this. We just didn't have the time. We kept looking. We put a couple offers on other houses. It wasn't happening. And every time we would go look at this house, the price kept coming down. And they kept changing how it was, how they were going to sell it. And we're like, you know, it finally came to a place where we could kind of afford it. And I said, well, let's just put an offer. We put an offer on. Well, they came back and told us, they said, well, you know, there's several offers on this house right now. So you need to come with your best offer. And most people go above, you know, what they're asking for. And I said, well, you know, I said, well, let's just put in the offer of what they're asking for, and we're not going to go any higher. And Liza's like, you know, we got to go higher. I'm like, no, I feel like if this house is what God has put for us, it doesn't matter. Put the offer on the house. They called us and accepted the offer. We got into the closing table, and the people said, one of the realtors for the other place, she said, I don't know how you got this house. She said, because there was people that offered more than what you offered. But for some reason, the seller just liked your financing. And Liza, at that point, finally faith had come, and she's like, I'll tell you exactly why. It's because we got favor. God has got you, and he's got our back. He is taking care of us. And so what's happened is the more situations have come, because sometimes life happens, the more we've just had faith in the midst of those things. I said, you know what? God didn't fail us before. He's not going to fail us this time. And even if sometimes it doesn't look like that's what we're going, you know, that's the thing. You know, sometimes we get in our mind like this is how God should do it. And God don't do it like that, and we think, well, that's all failed. He's done let me down. Then realize he was doing something way better, and we even saw it. We didn't even see what was coming. That's the faith of the kingdom. That's this kingdom seed operating in your life. Because if he was serious to want to bless you as his children, if he would wrap himself in flesh, take stripes upon his back, if he would wrap himself in flesh and endure the cross, how serious is he about giving you what the Bible says you should have? There should be a faith in us. It's not wishing God's going to do something for us, but there is a faith and an expectation that, man, this is how serious he is about making sure that I prosper and I'm in health, even as my soul is prospering. There is an expectation that the seed of the kingdom that's planted inside of us is never going to fail. It's going to produce something because that's its purpose. The seed doesn't fail. The seed doesn't, even if it's fallen in some bad places, the seed of God, the seed of the kingdom, it doesn't fail. It's always producing something. You can leave this place this morning with some faith and some expectation and some excitement that, man, what God has planted inside of me, he's going to make sure that it comes to pass. He's going to make sure that I'm taken care of. He's going to make sure that what I've been asking for, he's doing something. Even if in the midst of sometimes some health issues, we don't feel like it's happening. What's the song that we sing? Even if I don't see it, he's working. Sometimes he's doing something even greater than what we can see in the moment. Because God doesn't stop creating. As his word is spoken, there's creation taking place. You know, the Bible says that in the beginning, God began to speak some things, and life and the world began to change and began to form, and life began to happen. We get into the book of John, and John says Jesus was that word, and it's made flesh. And here's the thing, that same word, that same Jesus is living inside of us. And when we begin to speak his name, even when we don't know what else to speak, we speak the name of Jesus. His best sings the song. We speak the name of Jesus because it creates something. It creates life. It creates healing. It creates the seed of the kingdom in our life that produces righteousness, peace, and joy located in the Holy Ghost. So if you don't know what else to speak sometimes in the midst of a situation, you speak the name of Jesus because it begins to create some life in what looks like death sometimes. Because the seed of the kingdom never fails. That's how powerful the seed is. It will always produce life, and it will always produce what he has purposed it to create. Amen. As I said, I'm not going to speak long this morning. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I wanted just to add to some things so when Pastor Lisa comes back, she has some good places just to jump in and even add to it and bring you the good news. I want to say this. I love you guys. And I love you. And I want to see the best of all things happen for you. I want to be able to stand up here and speak something that creates faith in you and an expectation that you leave here going, man, this is... God's got this, and he's creating something, and he's working something, and there's something bigger than me that's happening inside of me. Do not leave here wondering if you are a good field or not. You are the good ground, and he has sowed seed in you on purpose. Amen. Amen.